Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, Alex. Sorry, everyone.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you at the podcast. We are in broadcasting live from Las Vegas, from the Red Rock Casino and Hotel. And we are excited to be here with another podcast live from the Lenders One Conference. So, again, Lenders One Conference, here's the summit in Las Vegas, and we're thrilled to have you here. It's March 6th. This podcast, again, is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. We are grateful to have all of you referring out to so many and telling people and sharing our podcast. I encourage you to check out our LinkedIn page. If you're not there, we'd love to have you. Just got a text in. Hello. Good to be listening. I love it. Texting is such a great way to connect if you want to send a message while we're doing the podcast. Yeah, I got another one just came in. Love your podcast. I can keep it up. Love what the information you put out. So timely, so helpful. But anyway, it's good to have you all here. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Candor Technology, the only automated underwriting system to earn a patent for its unique tech solution. Candor also optimizes the loan delivery workflow process, so operations can right size for the last time. Also, Finastra. I tell you, I'm having so many calls with what's going on at Finastra, with a Finastra executive team and the marketing team there. I got to tell you, there are some really, really exciting things that are happening at Finastra. I'm telling you, pay attention. And in this market, they're the largest fintech company in the world. Again, they have you can tap into their robust features such as the user-defined user groups, defined groups for processors and underwriters and closers. It's a way to customize a process for originating loans. Their LOS, their point of sale, a lot of different things about this that they have. But it also works with other sponsors like Simple Nexus, which is at some of the most sophisticated software and technology out there for the modern lender. Again, I encourage you to check the interview we did for Finastra with Michael Hedrick on July 25th. Also, check out the interview we did with Ben Miller on December 30th for Simple Nexus. And then we just recorded with Joe Welu the interview that is going to be released here shortly. The previous one with Dan Cantonelli was excellent on October 21st. Total Expert, again, is a platform that unifies the data, marketing, and sales and compliance solutions. What I love most about the Total Expert platform right now is that they totally 100% have the ability to automate your campaigns. You've got to check out their automated campaigns. It's amazing. The vision that Total Expert, Joe Welu, and the whole team has there is really exciting. And then, of course, our friends at FormFree. In fact, Justin's here right behind me in a booth. He just told me that they sold the account check service to Stuart Title, and it's going to be run by Informative Research. So a lot of developments going on, and with them and others, they're focusing down. So congratulations, by the way, to Brent and team, Brent Chandler and team over there at FormFree. Doing a great job. We're excited to be getting a chance to be close to and work with our friends at FormFree here at the conference. So anyway, folks, we could go on and on. We got so many sponsors we're so grateful for. Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, their conference is going on right now. Big news from out of Lenders One, or out of the Mortgage Collaborative, is Rich Zerbinski resigned and is not at the conference that's going on right now. That kind of like, oh my gosh, what happened? So we're trying to get some information there. Not Kittle. I talked to David Kittle. He can't join us today, but was able to get some information on what's kind of going on. Just general information. Again, we wish Rich real well. He's done a lot to build the TMC platform. The Mortgage Collaborative is doing very well and very healthy, and it's certainly more than just one individual. But if you hadn't heard the news, that is pretty significant news. Again, the Lenders One Conference, where I'm at here in Las Vegas, this is a really well-attended conference, and it's a right balance between the number of lenders and vendors, unlike all the other conferences that are going on at the MBA. So we're really excited to be here and have the sponsors that we do. Also, shout out to Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, and Modex. I tell you, these two, we use both of these tools in helping our clients in how to set up recruitment strategies. Now, we don't do the recruitment. We set it up so that they can go in, and we teach them how to use these excellent tools, Mobility, MMI, and Modex, also mortgage advisory tools. So anyway, we've got coming up on March 1st, this past Wednesday, we released a podcast that is getting virally downloaded. It's the interview with Mitch Kider of WBK. It's the Townsend financial case with CFPB on an ECOA and fair lending. The CFPB once again was defeated. And so that's big, big news. You want to go listen to that podcast. And what we have coming up this week on March 8th is an interview with it's so much fun to interview Andrea Lightfoot of Simple Nexus. I got to tell you, the energy, the wisdom, the knowledge, and how articulate she is. Right, see, Alice Alvey, just how articulate Andrea is and the enthusiasm that comes through on this interview. You've got to listen to it. We're talking about leveling up mortgage technology with lender insight. Now, that title kind of goes, can't wait to learn more about that. This is such an informative, high-impact, energetic interview. You're not going to want to miss it. Just got another text in from one of our listeners. Gosh, I love it when you guys text me. 512-632-2900 if you want to text me while we're doing the live podcast. Also, special shout-out goes to Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, and Mark Helm, my co-host, who's dialed in with me. Mark, good to have you here, friend.
Glad to be here, sir.
Appreciate it. Well, let's get on into hear from Adam DeSantis from the MBA with the MBA Mortgage Minute. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. MBA just released a white paper on the future of loss mitigation based on extensive contributions from MBA members regarding lessons learned during the COVID-19 pandemic. Our paper provides recommendations for key loss mitigation flexibilities that should be incorporated across all insurers and guarantors and used for future borrower hardships, national emergencies, and natural disasters. Using the guiding principles of simplicity, standardization, and sustainability, the future of loss mitigation also highlights roadblocks that policymakers must eliminate and outlines MBA's ongoing work to improve loss mitigation in a high interest rate environment. So why should you care and review the white paper? Well, with the expected expiration of the national emergency and evolving market conditions, the future of loss mitigation urges policymakers to create a durable and aligned loss mitigation structure ahead of the next adverse market event. Servicers have adjusted processes, technology, and borrower communications over the past 3 years. The recommendations seek to preserve those improvements and ensure servicers can maintain default scalability while offering effective solutions and favorable outcomes to distressed borrowers. MBA will continue to advocate on loss mitigation policy priorities and communicate progress to members. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, MBA. Thank you, Adam, to thank this. Appreciate all that the MBA does on behalf of the mortgage industry. And we also download this white paper and read it and know what's going on. Sorry, the vacuum cleaner is to get ready. We're in the exchange hall or the connection hall. So guess what? The big vacuum cleaner running as we just got the connection hall set up. And so it's running around the back room getting ready for the connection hall this afternoon. So I apologize for the vacuum cleaner if you hear it in the background. When you do these live and you're doing them at a conference, you just get what you get. Anyway, also sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance. It is the app you can download on your smartphone. You'll be able to make comments to legislators on the latest activities. We want to come in and support MBA with all the efforts that they're doing to help and get our industry in the right place. So good to have the MBA relationship. We're grateful for the MBA and all they do for our industry. That wraps up that. Let's get over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and, of course, one of Les's famous music parodies. It's a macro review of the markets, and you'll enjoy this. Les, what you got?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Viewing the screen down on Baker Street. Lightning the hedge with dead pipeline feet. Well, another crazy day. What's the new way? The 10-year came within two ticks of our expected bear target of 4.11. China's yuan must rise to make dreams come true for the dollar bashers. Ironically, the yuan falters as central banks substantially cut their holdings of Chinese bonds, encouraging U.S. mortgage buyers. As a result, will responsive buying continue? In the 10-year Treasury yield, the bulls return with a close below 381.
Rates turning, rates going low.
These views are my own. Be normal amid craziness. At tmspotlight.com.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Les Parker. I love that. Love that segment. That's really good. You know what? He's got a great voice for an old man. I tease him about that. You got to check out Les Parker's comments in the TM Spotlight, something he publishes, sends out every day. Got some great analysis in there. Get a lot of people chatting around it. And so we're grateful again to have a vacuum cleaner going right by us while we're doing a live podcast. Crazy, crazy, crazy. How about that for timing? Anyway, Les Parker, thank you for the segment. You can sign up for the Les Parker. You get the paid version of the newsletter by putting the code word power and the enter where you're entering in the information. So you get a paid version for free. Check it out. So good to have you here with us doing this. Just saw Frank Fiore over there. He's just setting up at Matchbox. He's a new member here at TMC. Love Frank Fiore. You got to check out his service if you're not familiar with him. Lettuce, we're going to start getting some people are starting to wander in here, so we're going to start getting some background noise. Let's get over to Matt Graham. Matt Graham is here with us from good old Portland, Oregon, up there in the Pacific Northwest. How's the markets today? Haven't had a chance to look. Matt, what's happening?
Well, we started green and are turning red, so let's try to turn it around, shall we?
Yeah.
All right.
Really?
So it sounds like you want a market update, Dave. So last week...
Yeah, I would like to have a market chart. I get too flooded.
All right. I got you. No worries. Last week started off in that same sideways range that we saw the previous week, and that was perhaps the bond market's way of maybe leveling off after a pretty bumpy February. There wasn't a ton of big-ticket economic data, but there were a few reports that stood a chance to move the needle. It ended up being ISM manufacturing on Wednesday firing the first shots with the prices component or the inflation component inside that report coming in at 51.3 versus 45.1 forecast. That's a pretty big move up, and it was enough to spook the market a little bit on Wednesday. That combined with European inflation data and domestically with jobless claims and labor costs on Thursday morning to send yields much higher all the way up to the 4.09 that Les mentioned. And from there, however, it sort of seems like bonds maybe found some buyers, perhaps some people that were waiting for yields to rise or for prices to fall as some sort of entry point or end to this bear run that we had in February. At least from the standpoint of technical motivations, we could make a case for that. But we also had to consider on Friday that we could be seeing short covering and position squaring ahead of a fairly important week and a week with heavy supply. When we talk about supply in the bond market, we are usually talking about treasury auctions and to a lesser extent, corporate bonds. But this week there is a ton of corporate bond issuance. It should keep things volatile. It should keep things challenging from the standpoint of carving out a rally early this week. And we're already seeing the ill effects of that as a bunch of corporate bonds hit the market this morning. But later in the week, things will get more important and more interesting. We have Fed Chair Powell coming up with 2 days of congressional testimony. The first of those is tomorrow morning. That's usually the more important day when it comes to these two-day testimonies. And then we have ongoing supply in the form of Treasury auctions and what we expect to be additional corporate bond issuance. And it's worth noting, Dave, that corporate issuance in and of itself doesn't necessarily connote upward pressure on rates, but at the onset of the issuance, when traders are hedging or locking their rate at this, in the same sort of way that you might lock by selling MBS, it usually involves selling of treasuries, or more often than not, involves selling of treasuries. Then the labor market data starts to hit in starting on Wednesday with the job openings and labor turnover survey, or JOLTS, and we will also get ADP employment. Then the following day, challenger layoffs, jobless claims, and then, of course, the big jobs report on Friday morning, something everybody is very eager to see after last month's report sent rates screaming higher. So the market's nimble. It's ready to respond in one direction or the other to economic data. If the data is in our favor, there is the capacity for rates to move lower. And if data does anything like it did last month, then, you know, we could be challenging that 4.09 ceiling that we held on to last week. Pretty much that simple, and just waiting on the edge of our seats.
Well, good. What's the projection for the JOLTS report? Where's that projected to come in at?
I don't have a projection for that, but it's been over 10 million, I think, fairly regularly recently.
Yeah, fairly regularly.
Yeah.
But that is such a when you really study an economic report like the JOLTS, job opening and what is it? Job opening
and labor turnover.
Labor turnover. That's what it is. Labor. I was trying to stumbling on the L part. Labor turnover.
It looks
survey.
Like the consensus is 10.5 million. Sorry, came in at 11 million last time.
Yeah, okay. So it's going to be off just slightly. Hopefully that'll help keep rates in a little bit of a reversal here from that ugly, ugly week last week. So that jump got us all a little worried. It took a little of wind out of some sails when you know what's really interesting? Did we talk about this last week? When I think this is an important attitude. Now, I want to bring in everybody on this. So Mark, jump in. Alice, please jump in. Alan's joined us, so we'd love to get your thoughts on this. There was Mark, you told me that someone said that when was that on the podcast? Help me remember, Mark. I hope you are on the call. But it is when prisoners of war in Vietnam were being incarcerated or held as prisoners of war, the ones that had the highest survival rate all believed they would be set free, but they didn't set a date. Did we talk about this recently or on the podcast? I can't remember when I heard it, but this is so significant. The ones that fared the best were the ones that said, we believe we're going to be released, we just don't know when. The ones that fared the worst were the ones that said, we'll be released by Christmas or by 4th of July. They set a date. And I think this is significant when you start looking at when are we going to see rates drop? Because what we saw in the phenomenon of what happened last week, and a lot of people's attitudes just went in the toilet. They are just going, oh my gosh, here we go again. We're done. We're screwed. I mean, all the negativity that came out as a result of that jump. And so I think what is so imperative, listeners, that you do not set a date. We know rates are going to improve. They should be improving at some point in time. We're going to be out of the cycle. Business is going to come back. So I want to throw that out. Mark, I'll have you comment on that. Do you remember who we were talking to, Mark, or do you remember that?
It didn't come from me, but I've read some on that. I mean, I'm a student, obviously, having spent a great deal of time there in Vietnam. I'm a student of Vietnam, and
yeah.
I pay attention to a lot of things that were done there and happened there. And it certainly is, you know, goes right to my education background in psychology, because it's you get a mindset on something, you set your mind to it, and you go through a tremendous disappointment when it doesn't happen. And it happens everything from marriage to Vietnam prisoners of war to buying a new car and it's not as great as you think it'd be. So it fits at all different kind of levels.
Or interest rate. Or we're going to have a recovery at this time. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
And,
right.
You know,
that's
I like what you said, which is a different kind of approach, David. If we kind of talk about it improving, but not necessarily reaching the pinnacle and being back to where it was 4 years ago, that improving is something we can live with. But when you set that benchmark that it's going to be back in the old days, that's not going to happen any distinct date in the future, and that's when you set yourself up for disappointment. So I think you're right on target about that. And certainly that was true of the Vietnam War, because some of those prisoners weren't there was prisoner exchange that started early in the war, but some of those guys who were captured early in the war were there for, you know, 3-4 years. And that they, if they were thinking they were getting released by 4th of July or New Year's or whatever, they had another thing coming, because that was leveraged by the regime north Vietnam over the South and over South Vietnam and over the United States. So as long as they had our prisoners, they had the upper hand. So that's one of those things, too, because you got to take into consideration all the external factors that affect what you're talking about. And in our interest rate, we're looking at all kind of external factors. We're looking at housing demand. We're looking at Fed. We're looking at Congress. We look at inflation. You know all those things.
Yep.
Depression coming. You know, we're so much happening. Trade balances. All these things affect rates, not just one thing. And controlling all those things to give us something a definitive date is like kind of wishing for a cloud to come over when you need a rainstorm. It might or might not happen.
Yeah, I think it's a psychological thing. So I thought it was you with your psychology background. That'd be, get your comment on that, Alice. Your thoughts on the money or where rates are at? How did you know? You guys seem to just continue to do well, market in, market out, ups and downs over there at Union Home. You know, your thoughts and why some companies seem to get caught up in the negativity or this disappointment and it has a bad influence on your thoughts?
Well, I think, both of you have said it well on the psychology side of it. So to just go off of what Mark was referencing on, so much of that is out of your control. So focus on what is in your control and the things that you can have control over, which is helping customers each day, retooling how your marketing approaches, you know, really focusing on what is in your control, I guess is my short message for right now versus what's not. And there are a lot of positives then that you do have control over to continue to keep your share and gain more share of the market that's out there. Because the positive is if you're in a good place, and others aren't, then, okay, let all the others leave the business. It's more business for the rest of us who are going to hang on because we're in this for the long haul.
Yep. Great perspective. Alan, you want to jump in? Any comments?
Yeah, I mean, rates are still – I mean, when you say historically low, like others have said, we're near that mark that lets you continue or not continue to say that. Anything between 6 and 7.5, I think, is still kind of historically low. But what's interesting is for a lot of us that sometimes just look on real estate sites, you'll start to see that as rates continue to go up, property values are slowly coming down. Not by a lot, but they're coming down enough to make up the difference. And you need to make sure you're working, if you're an originator or you manage originators, that you're training and helping them work with the realtor to understand that, you know, maybe the value of the home's not coming down, but a seller concession could help. So there's still ways to make people afford or help them have a likelihood to want to get into that home. It's more now about relationship and strategy. But if rates stay like this for another year or two, I think there's so many other economic factors, David, that I know absolutely nothing about, and I lend it to the folks on this call that know all that stuff way better, I still think we're in good shape. You know, we're coming off of such a crazy high that anything less than where we were is not going to be as good. And there are layoffs and there are, you know, consolidation and things. But but as an industry, we're still moving forward.
Yeah, we are. It's going to still be a decent funding year. I saw originations were off the worst levels in 28 years. You can hear all the negative statistics, but what is that? And where are the opportunities? Now, we have a client that does refinance business. Their business is up because so many people think there ain't nothing to do with refinance, so they don't focus on it. Their business is actually up because they focus on life events. And it's just so strange. We could go on and on about that. Matt, back to you. When you look at I love your gear on your website. One of the things I encourage everyone to check out, the mbslive.net website, because for all the information you have on there. But when we have the inflections like that, I really look for the leadership, thought leadership in the chat realm, where you're doing the things that related to what's going on. So let's get your final thoughts on that, and then we'll move on to another segment. I've got a surprise guest I'm going to put on here just real fast here with folks as we're doing this podcast. So anyway, let us get your last thoughts, Matt.
Last thoughts on what specifically? Sorry.
On the chat, on what's going on in the chat thing.
Oh,
Board. When I saw the spike up, I know, I understand everyone went kind of crazy.
I mean, it depends on the moment. I think that earlier in February was probably a little bit rockier because the pace of the rate increase was faster. But I think the chat sort of echoes the equanimity discussed on the call just now about, you know, rates will eventually come back down, and those who stay in the business will be in an advantage when things do eventually heal. But, you know, to the point about the Vietnam stories, is very similar to what I tell people, is like, we can't know exactly what rates are going to come down to or exactly when they're going to come down, but they will eventually. And the last thing I'll close on, I don't think rates are historically low right now. I think that the 80s were historically high. And before that, you had, you know, 10-year yields gravitating more toward 2%. And then the 70s and 80s were a bit of an aberration. So another thing, too, is, you know, high rates are relative. So relative to where we were, rates are high. But it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a bad thing or that it prohibits business from being done. If you look at the charts in Mortgage Monitor that came out today, you can see that the purchase business is basically trending in the same direction that it had been in terms of mortgages. And it's really only the refi market that's taken a hit. That, of course, will come back when rates moderate a little bit. So, yeah, tough market, not the end of the world.
Good, John. Yep, not the end of the world. Matt, listeners, check out Matt Graham. Go out to mbslive.net. We love him. He does got great content. You can sign up, and you put in LOL in the sign-up code. You get the extended trial period at no additional cost. So you don't have to, I mean, no additional cost. I mean, you don't have to put in your credit card. Sorry. I'm excited to get a guest on here in just a minute, but I'm going to run over. We'd be running over to David Kittle, but David is at the TMC conference and doing live in his thing live in San Diego there at the Hotel Del. So we wish the Matt, I mean, everyone there at TMC doing real well. Sorry about the news about Rich Zerbinski just resigning, but we're so excited to have you all participating in both TMC and Lenders One. Let's see. So normally we'd be run out to David right now. We're not going to do that. We'll get to Alice in just a minute. But Matt, thanks so much for being here each and every week. I had a friend, Megan Anderson, just pulled up and sat down here at the couch with me. So we're going to I'm going to turn my cell phone into a speaker phone and try to capture some comments here from her. So let's get over doing it this way. Megan, so good to have you here. Tell us about your new upcoming podcast.
And thank you for having me. So upcoming podcast, it will be launching here in about 2 months, and it's going to be called On the Highway.
On the Highway. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm very excited about it. If anyone is familiar with the live monthly calls that we do for MBS yeah. Highway, it's going to be an extension of that. So
right.
We have a bunch of people on there. Katie Stockton we just had on. You've probably seen
yes.
her on CNBC,
yes. Yes.
Fox.
Yes.
She's all over the place. So we're going to have guests like that on. We're also going to have different originators on talking about how they're thriving and what kind of success they're
That's
having.
That's what I love about you.
Industry.
You're focusing on the positive.
Yes.
You need to.
You need to. It's been an interesting ride in the market, but we all know that this is cyclical.
Yep.
And we're headed on to better things. And the way I see it, and listen, you interview a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And all the people that I've interviewed that survived the time period of the housing crash
right.
back in 06 to 08, they all say that it sucked, right?
Right.
It was really hard to go through.
Yep.
They built their teams up to let half of them go.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you know what they say? They say, I needed to go through that to be the leader that I am today.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I want everyone on this call to think about. What is this time period in this market asking you to step up in your business today while you have the time? How can we refine ourselves so that we're better no matter what market we head into?
Yeah. So good to have you sit down here. She's got her cute dog here with us walking through the exhibit hall before we get ready to go live. And I saw her. I said, oh, I got to have her, especially when I hear about your new podcast. I love you. So good to see you. Thanks
good
for dropping
you.
By.
Thank
you bet. You.
You
bet. We'll head back over. Get a little bit quieter, but it's so good to have friends. This is the thing, beautiful thing about heading out to these conferences. Anyway, so, I mean, we have the privilege of working. We've got Matt here each and every week. You've got to sign up for MBS Live. We work with everyone. Megan works with Barry Habib over at MBS Highway. Good service, great guy. I love the guy. We're very good friends. But I'm just so grateful for you, Matt, because of all the information and how you put it out. And here's the other thing. You stay in your swim lane, Matt. You don't try to guess where rates are going. That's a thin ice, slippery slope.
you wisely avoid it. So kudos to you, my friend, for how you approach things. I am just so blessed and honored to have the affiliation with you, Matt. Thank you. You still here? Didn't lose you,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, thanks.
Maybe,
right,
Matt.
I was on mute.
All right. All right. Sorry. But anyway, I'm so grateful for you, friend. There was that awkward pause. I go, oh, no, I lost Matt. Anyway, let's get over to Alice Alvey and get an update. Again, Alice Alvey brings us an update each and every week with the legislative update. And Alice is, as many of you know, most of you know, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Alice, good to have you join us.
Thanks, Dave. Hello, everyone. Sounds like you're enjoying the conference. It is fun to have guests stop by while you're broadcasting live.
You've done this live with me so many times at these conferences, and it's been such a treat to have them. And, you know, it just comes like one big family. We just keep getting together for these class reunions once a year.
Well, my report is quick today. Just a couple of things. I think many folks heard in the news that the Supreme Court would be considering the CFPB's appeal of the Fifth Court of Appeals decision. Say that five times. In any case, it's questioning the funding, the constitutionality of the Bureau's funding mechanism. And so for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the CFPB is essentially paid through the Federal Reserve Board. So they have this layer of protection that people interpret as being unconstitutional because Congress isn't controlling their purse strings. Now, Congress set up the structure, so that's where the debate comes in as to whether or not it's circumventing the Constitution and it should be going through appropriation as issued by Congress through the budget process. So right now, that's not the way it works, and so we'll see. It would be a real challenge in the industry to have the CFPB, someone say the constitutionality of their funding was not appropriate, and if it was ruled against this, you know, think of trying to unwind everything that we have in place today for LEs and CDs and disclosures and just business processes to stay in compliance with CFPB. So then you go, now what? Am I better off with the devil I know or the devil I don't know? So I think there's a lot of discussion going on these days either way, but I will tell you we won't know until later in the year. So it isn't going to be until October 1st before they take that case up. So nothing new as of today to act upon. The other thing,
and the good news is that this is an appeal. I mean, this is a hearing of a case that's already been decided, and it went against CFPB. It's an important thing. So they'll be hearing what circuit court was it that decided? Do you have that in your notes? Don't have that right here with me.
I think it was the Fifth. Yeah, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
The Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that's good. So anyway, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's important to note that for everyone, this isn't just coming out of the blue, going directly. This has already been decided, and they ruled against CFPB. Of course, CFPB challenged it, and we expect them to do that. And so this is significant. So by the end of the year, we may have ourselves quite an interesting podcast to discuss the consequences of CFPB losing their funding, which means their only funding source is by taking action. So, yeah. Is that good or bad?
Yeah,
I have a lot
muddy
to talk about. Al, sorry. It's a muddy mess. Yep. Muddier than the Mississippi as you get close down to Louisiana. All right. It's on with the report. Sorry.
It will be a lot to talk about after the decision is made, but we'll wait and see. One correction from last week, I gave you all dates and read my notes as April 1st. It's actually April 7th for the VA funding fee. Just want to get that correction in as I rattled off some dates last week. And then I think just quickly, the FTC has a rule out there. I noticed this in the MBA news link it's a proposed rule to impose a nationwide ban on almost all non-compete clauses. So this is a proposed rule worth digging into a little bit and see, you know, what of your teams today could potentially be impacted by this. And so if you think about when do I put a non-compete in place, how could this potentially be impacted by this proposed rule? And if you think it could impact your compensation structures and the protections that you want to have in place, take a look at it and make sure that you get your comments in by March 20th. So not a big window there. I'll be reading it a little bit more and report on that more in next week, Dave. But I know you have a lot going on with the conference, so I'm going to get it back to you. Yeah,
it's, you know how it is, Alice. You're doing these things live, and you're sitting here in this. They have a really nice setup. I'll post a picture of what they have given us here. And it's a nice couch, and we're sitting here in a little bit different format than we have before. And, of course, people are walking by, and I've got the earbuds on. Yeah, can we talk? Are you ready? And I go, no, we're doing this live. I need to get one of those on-air live things. I bought one. I just didn't pack it this time. I need to do that. Anyway, Alice, thank you for your good report. It's always fun to – not fun. It's always so informative. It's always fun. You make it interesting. So thank you so much. Alice Alvey, check out all the previous podcasts on our website. Thank you. All of her previous segments is what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Mark, Alan, any comments you want, any questions you have for Alice as we before we move on to Alan?
I don't.
Great update. All right. Yeah. Alice's updates are always good. All right. Very good. Let's get over to you, Alan Pollack. Good to have you here. I had a number of people. I'll never forget the time when we were together. I think it was one of the conferences, and you helped me set up the booth, and it was just before going live. It was. I appreciate your heart to serve, Alan. That's one of the things. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of cranky because this wasn't going well. Some of the equipment wasn't working out well. And you were so patient. And I just, but that just tells, I want listeners to know, Alan Pollack is here to help and serve you. You got to stay in touch and plug into this guy. But you've had some news going on. So let's get into the tech update and what's going on out there, and then any news you
Sounds
can share
great.
About regarding what's going on with you.
Yeah, I'll do that at the end. But let's start. So talking of conferences, David, and funny icebreakers, right? Sometimes you're rushed to meet someone, but not everyone that you thought you were meeting is there yet, and you kind of maybe sometimes you're just tired of talking about the weather. So here's one or two funny icebreakers if you happen to be at the TNC or another conference and you need to break the ice. The first one is, David, I just wrote a book on reverse psychology. Don't read it. So that'll get people laughing. The next one.
Yep.
The next one is, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad.
That's good. That's good. Yep. I'm not a fan of tomatoes anyway around anything.
I'm going to use that reverse psychology then.
Yeah, that's good.
The two cows are in a field. This is the last one. Two cows are in a field. The first one says moo. The second one replies, that's what I was going to say. So, there you have it.
That was bad. Yeah. All right, let's get on to the tech update. What you got for us on the tech update, brother? Appreciate you.
So, I searched. I could not find this news I'm going to give you if it is recent or if it's just remarketed, but I didn't know this existed. And so Optimal Blue has a mobile app. So if you're an LO on the go and you don't like the way websites may conform down to a single device, or you don't like using web on mobile, well, there you go. If you're an Optimal Blue user, you can price and refresh scenarios on your OB mobile app. You can save your dashboard favorites. You can improve the customer experience by identifying, as you would expect with a PPE, by identifying the best product rate and such. But you also have all your necessary pricing input. So check it out. I thought that was really cool. You know, we've had a lot of conversation around people not liking mobile. But if you're an originator, it's different. You don't have app fatigue if you're using this every day as part of the strategy to consult and, you know, help borrowers in the process. So check that out. In addition, David, this is pretty funny. Well, I'll go to the funny one after. This one's not funny. This is fantastic. So for the folks at Form Free, friends of the radio program, the whole industry is friends of the radio program. I got to stop saying that, right? But good friends, Stewart, we all know who Stewart is. They have acquired Form Free, the account check business, which just proves that you know, Brent and his team have really just continued to do such a great job in focusing on you know, helping borrowers get into more homes and the tools to help advance the industry forward. He's done so much in partnering with so many different people. So check that out. Fantastic news. We could talk more in other podcasts another day about what Stewart's looking to do, but it's clear, obviously, that this becomes a great service.
It's really interesting because Stewart is one of those ones that they sometimes seem sleepy, but then they do something like this, and it really shows the forward thinking, critical thinking. That's in Mark's right there in Mark's backyard in Houston. So we got to get someone on from Stewart to get a little more insight into their vision of what they're doing.
Yeah, makes total sense.
They're thinking.
So this is the part that I thought was really funny. I'm browsing the internet, and you know, I spend usually my Sundays and Mondays just trying to figure out what would be interesting to talk about on Monday's podcast. Anyways, this one caught my attention, and it's called "The Digital Mortgage Domino is About to Fall." And I was like, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that digital mortgage isn't working out? Does it mean that some big player is, you know, has gone bankrupt? So I started reading through it. Now, this is a Scotsman guide, right? And I, as somebody in the mortgage industry, I felt this article was way out of touch. Somebody kind of layman that's not in the mortgage industry, maybe this is a great article. But it basically just talked about everything we've been focused on for many years. And it said, you know, and they gave examples of people buying a car within an hour. And it said, as a result, many mortgage companies will be challenged with improving operational efficiencies while managing increased competition for borrowers. The market dynamics are going to force the industry to find ways to extend the value of the investment as already made in the digital mortgage world. So, I mean, the title is just super misleading. The domino is not about to fall. The dominoes have already fell, and right, someone's got to reset them up maybe again for a time in the future. But right now, in my opinion, we have progressed so far. And if you really want opinion on where the industry likely could be going, we got to reduce the cost, right? All this new technology is costing more money.
So
we're
true.
Not yet doing so. That's where we got to get to. And I don't know, there's no silver bullet to do so. So maybe it's just part of the dominoes falling and the progression, but I thought that was a pretty funny article. If you're interested, you can just Google it. Scotsman Guide was the source again. Dave, big cheers and salute to all the folks that made the Tech 100 Awards. My company that I work for, MeridianLink, made it for both LOS platforms, OpenClose and LendingQB, and so did so many others. 100 fantastic vendors, even a few lenders that have technology made the list, and a lot of folks didn't. So it is HousingWire does a nice job in kind of identifying the folks that deserve that Tech 100 award. So check it out. And then finally, David, this is something I wanted to talk about last week in looking at loan costs. This is from Fannie Mae. Now, this is from the end of the year. This was in October. And when Fannie Mae puts these things together, it obviously takes a little bit of time to do so, right? So consider this as part of last year's survey in general. Doug Duncan did put this together. And what it talks about is the lenders discussed loan costs and the efficiency of recent tech investments. You ready? I'm going to only give you one or two stats. You can Google it. We can share the link to anyone, put it in the show notes. But here's what folks are saying. Combined percentage, meaning the largest impact versus the second, the largest impact of the total process. And they're saying that back-end operational staff to the mortgage process is 49% of the first cost increase driver, and the second is legal and compliance, which some tech is there, but not all tech. So when you think about what is driving our cost, some of it is actually people. And so technology can help drive that, as we all know. And then 30% was loan officers. So it's basically back-end operational staff versus part back-end, part front-end. And then they talked about the top cost decrease drivers. And back-end tech was a 37% number one winner on reducing cost. And the second was consumer-facing technology. So overall, continuing to invest on the front end, the consumer-facing technology, and investing in legal and compliance, right, is going to drive down over 50% of your cost, says Fannie Mae, as of the end of last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you know what?
Maybe David. Yeah, go ahead.
Fannie Mae is not – I mean, when they make statements like that, there's a lot of research that's gone into it. They don't make these –
wild, crazy statements that are baseless. There is a lot of research that goes into that. That is encouraging.
Yeah, it's very encouraging.
All right.
And I think there's a lot of other great information in this article. Maybe next week I'll focus on it again and talk about a couple more details.
Yes.
But you can just, again, you can Google it. You can just say, you know, Doug Duncan, Fannie Mae, reduce costs, and this article will pop right up. It's in their perspectives, by the way, if anyone needs to look for it.
Okay.
Research and insights,
very
say,
good,
David.
Okay.
And then, David,
good.
Finally,
well, they've got some of the best research and insight out there, so good. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak over there. A little delay with me being on my cell phone dialed in there. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. At the very end, I myself am looking for new opportunities. I think that's what you're referring to, David. So if anyone's interested in
signing,
feel free to give me a call. You know how to get me. It's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at TMS-advisor. Thanks for listening.
Advisors, plural. Yep, advisors.com. Yes, very good.
That's right.
And I also want to give a shout-out to Debbie Weymouth. Weemus, there at DW Consulting, who I referred you over to. Anyone who is looking, so many are looking for work, and so many are needing to get their LinkedIn profiles updated. When you look at the best way to get yourself exposed out there, it is through LinkedIn. You've said this on the tech update. There's not a better platform to doing this than LinkedIn. And so when you hear this, you've got to then make sure that you have it updated. So I want to give a shout-out to Debbie. I just connected you with her. I know you're working with her and Danny, that they have. It's the two amazing ladies there that will help you. And they're at almost all the MBA conferences now. And so whether you wait for a conference or just reach out to me and I'll make a connection. And she is phenomenal. So, Alan, I know she'll do a great job. You have already got a great LinkedIn profile. Encourage everyone. So in fact, we'll put your profile in our show notes. I'll have Ben take care of that for us so that anyone looking for that, you have so many skills. Again, how can you not? You can't go wrong when you have someone like you who's got a heart to serve. So kudos. Wish you the best in your new search. And I know you always land in your feet. And so you'll do well. But you're going to be here each and every week doing the podcast. Got a little more time to do some research and getting what we share here. So that'll even be better.
Sounds good.
All right. Very good. Well, let's get around the horn to everybody. Start with you, Alice. Anything that caught in the headlines that you're aware of that you wanted to share, I mean, beyond just your report, anything significant information the headlines of CFPB, the fact that Supreme Court, that's huge and significant. But anything else that's just generally you're hearing out there in the industry that you want to share with our listening audience, Alice?
For a minute, I wasn't sure if you said Alan or Alice. So, I think,
I'm sorry, Alice.
No, I think, just keeping an eye on the trends right now are going to be important as we look at that. The housing stock is not where it has been in the past. So just having to really be a specialist, I think, is something that a lot of loan officers are focusing on to be able to help their borrowers specialists in certain products that make money. And FHA is still a good, solid product for those first-time homebuyers, so really sharpening skills on first-time homebuyers. So as you talk about, the news of the rates, that's just where I continue to go back and focus and go back to, well, what can we do well and what can we do better than the others to get the business?
Yeah. So good. Very good. Mark, we've already, Matt's dropped. He's got to go back to monitor rates. Anything you want to add, Mark, to wrap up our discussion here for the day?
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about what Adam talked about the loss mitigation thing put out by MBA. I read that. It came out in February. It's published in February. What it reminded me of is that we learn best from our mistakes and our falters in the industry and how we recover from them. And I think about coming through 2007, 8, 9 and the subprime debacle, and then now dealing with the aftermath of COVID, and now we're in a very dramatic rising rate environment, one of the fastest rate environments we ever had in our country, and we need to learn from those things. So I would tell everyone, whether you come from a servicing environment or a mortgage, just a plain mortgage bank environment or origination environment, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Read that article. It's very, very good and really outlines the what happened, the pros and cons, how new things were developed, how things that weren't being done correctly before got back on track. It set a new standard for loss mitigation in our industry and is a very excellent summary of what happened, what could happen, what would happen, and what did happen, and how we need as an industry to deal with it. So I really salute NBA for putting that together in such a summary format mm-hmm. and explaining to the layman what happened to our industry during the COVID period of time.
Yeah, that's a great point. Good, good. Excellent. Well, folks, I got to get focused here on the conference. Again, we're broadcasting live from the Lenders One Summit in Las Vegas at the Red Rock Casino and Conference Center and Hotel. It's a spectacular facility. And so many have walked by and say, tell your listeners hello. We listen. I love all the feedback we get when we go to these conferences. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Thank you again for sharing this podcast. This has been one of the most virally shared podcasts. We continue to just do well. I'm sitting here with Rob Crispin last night, and he was telling someone else, look, it knows everybody. That's not true. Rob is – I just celebrate what Rob does. And we were sitting here at breakfast, Chris Willoughby and I, Chris is with Lenders One, and we're sitting there on the table right next to us. Chris and I are dear friends with Rob. And there is Rob early in the morning stomping out his update. And I'm just always so impressed with his commitment to bring timely information. If you're not subscribed to the Crispin Report, you need to be. He's just an awesome guy and someone I so honored to be in a really friendship relationship, business relationship, and just to be working and keeping the industry updated each and every, well, in his case, daily, and us multiple times throughout the week, but not yet daily. So we're going to appreciate you, listeners, for being here, telling others about the podcast and sharing it with others. That's how we have added to our list. Again, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Candor Technology, Finastra, Form Free, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, and Modex, and at Mortgage Advisory Tools. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to seeing you back here next week. Check out the podcast that we got coming out. I'm going scrolling back up here to look at the date on that thing. When that comes out on, when is that? There it is. March 8th of this week, Andrea Lightfoot of Simple Nexus. It's a really interesting and informative podcast. We start talking more and more about ChatGPT. By the way, Mark and I recorded an interview with Shashank Shekhar, with InstaMortgage. He has really zeroed in on ChatGPT. I've been active in it. Mark has become obsessed in it lately. It is so fun to look at. I got a funniest text from Mark Helm. I have to read to you, all you listeners, at some point in time that he's chatting. You know, he says, I solved my marriage. I figured out who assassinated Jimmy Hoffa. It was just on and on. And it was one of those things where ChatGPT and all that it promises. But it's living up to it. It's crazy. We're going to be talking more about that on the podcast. We try to, again, bring timely information for you to our listeners. And I think you're going to enjoy some of the upcoming podcasts. So have a great week, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week. And, again, tune in to the podcast on March 8th with Andrea Lightfoot of Simple Nexus. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.